The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, we're talking about sin. There's a couple of things when I was a child that I did that I so much regret. I know we all have those, right? The truth is, if we're real with one another, there is a lot more than a couple. I'm only going to share a couple with you this morning. There was one time that I was, I don't know, probably 4, 5, maybe 6. I had a Christmas program that I had to sing at for my school. My parents didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up. And so they wanted to... My mom knew that I needed a new outfit. And this was her way of, she wanted to wrap it up to maybe give me an extra present under the tree or whatever. So she went out, and I know how this is now as a parent, because now I do it. You go out and you see this adorable outfit and you're thinking to yourself, yes, oh, I could see my son or my daughter in this outfit. I have to buy it, and this is going to be so cute and it's going to be wonderful. I'm just picturing this is what was going through my mom's mind as she went out to pick out the perfect outfit for me. And she wrapped it up. And a week before Christmas, she came to me and said, Paul, I have a Christmas present for you to open early. I lit up. Just me, Mom? Yeah. But you need to open it before the Christmas program. And so I opened it, and I realized that it was clothes. And I threw it back at her, and I said, Mom, I hate it. And I ran into my room. Several years later, I don't remember how many years later. It might have been like 4 or 5 years later. And I don't know why it came up. It must have been the Holy Spirit. I was sitting in my room, and I was reliving this moment as what happened 4 or 5 years earlier. And I remembered just guilt and sorrow came over me. I felt so bad. And I remember I ran down the stairs. And remember, this is 4 or 5 years later. I ran down the stairs. I'm crying. I hugged my mom and I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. And she's probably thinking, what did you do now? There's another time when I was older. My mom and my dad bought me this great Lego set. And they must have... Now, looking back at it, they must have, you know, saved up quite a bit, because Lego sets are expensive. And so it was this, I think it was like this great big spaceship. I think it was about this big. Anyway, I opened it. I was excited about it. My dad said, hey, let's make it together. And so my dad and I sat down, and it took 2 or 3 days to build it, but we got it. We built it. And I was cautious with it. I didn't want to play with it because I didn't want it to break. So I put it on my shelf. Probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, my dad and I got in an argument. And so I went to this Lego set and I took it off the shelf and I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I hate this." And I threw it on the ground and it crashed into pieces. It's weird that when I said that during first service, this was like I was reliving this moment for one of the first times in a long time. I got emotional because I couldn't believe I did that, but I mostly got emotional because how much it must have hurt my dad to see that. Oh, I wish I had that time to build another Lego set with my dad. We all do things as a kid, as a teenager, as an adult, as an elder that we regret. We're looking at sin. We're looking at our hearts. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 9. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul is writing this. He's writing Romans. He's writing Romans to basically tell them about the good news of Jesus. He's basically laying it all out for them. He's not just talking to the Jews in this letter. He's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to everyone. And what he's trying to do is he is trying to get things ready to set the bar. So he is wanting to go to Rome, and he can go to Rome and just continue with what this letter is talking about. And so Paul, as we've been reading into, has been talking a lot inward stuff, looking inwardly. Romans chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? No, not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. Now remember, the Jews thought that they were the only ones that could get saved. They thought that they were the only ones that God loved. Everybody else, God's grace and God's love was not for them. And so Paul is writing to them and saying, "Hey, I want to tell you something. There's no difference. Jews, Gentiles, we're all alike." And this is why he goes on to say, "As it is written." And now he's going to tell you a bunch of different scriptures that he kind of picked throughout Psalm and other things that he put together. "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They all have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Doesn't that make you feel great? Basically, what Paul is saying, we, just like my Lego set, we are all broken, shattered all over the floor. Have you ever got a fruit and inside the fruit, it looked great on the outside, but you bit into the apple or something and inside was rotten? This is what Paul is saying. Is he saying, Each and every one of us on the inside, we are all rotten. And we are in need of his grace. Now, a lot of times, what we struggle with is we look at our sin, and a lot of times we measure ourselves up against somebody else to make us look better. We might say, yeah, I have these problems, but man, compared to Jack over here, I'm really good. Not you, Jack. Another Jack over here, this Jack. But man, I have some problems, but compared to Susie, I'm much better than her. And so a lot of times we look at ourselves or we compare ourselves to one another. But the truth is, what Paul is saying is, no matter what, I don't care what you've done, what you've looked like, where you've come from, what you believe in, we are all in the same boat here, right? We are all sinful people in need of his grace. What Paul is saying is, all of us are broken. All of us are rotting on the inside. And we need a rescuer. We need a savior to come. So many times, it's easier for us to look at someone else's sin before ourselves or before our own sin. Actually, I had someone last week who came to me after the service and said, "Hey, when we came up and nailed our sins to the cross, I like nudged my wife and said, 'Oh, there might not be enough sheets there up there for you.'" And he kind of giggled. And I said, "Probably not enough for you either, huh?" And he kind of giggled at that too. When I did this, at another church, I remember there was an older gentleman there, and he came up to write his sin on the paper and to nail it to the cross. And when he came forward, he like stopped and he looked at the altar and he said, "Pastor, there's not enough up here. I think I need more." And that's the truth for all of us, isn't it? That if we're really real with one another, if we stop looking at someone else's sin, but just really start looking at our own heart, we see, man, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of mistakes, there's a lot of things I need to change, there's a lot of grace I really need. My mom always said, "Paul, if you point at someone, remember that there's three fingers pointing back at you." I encourage you this morning, let's stop looking at somebody else. Let's just look at our own heart. Because we each have enough in there. That God can help. Verses 19 and 20. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." There are a lot of people who believe today that good works or being a good person can get you saved or can get you into heaven. If I just go to church every week, If I read my Bible, if I help my neighbor, if I do good things, if I'm just a good person, that's going to help me, right? No. I mean, it might help you to be a better person and help other people to like you more. But when we talk about heaven, when we talk about salvation, there is only one person, there is only one thing, person who loves you so much, who can help you, who can save you. There is only one rescuer, and that is Jesus. It doesn't matter what great things you've done. Just like, you know, the story of the rich young ruler who came before Jesus and said, "How can I get saved?" And he said, "I'm a good person. I followed all the laws in this book." And Jesus said, "That's great. Now, you know all the things that you cherish, that you value more than me? Sell all of those things and follow me." And he couldn't do it. He was a good person. He followed the laws. But he was forgetting about Jesus. Verse 21. This starts with the word "but." This changes everything. I kind of snicker underneath myself when I say this in this scripture, this is a big but. Because everything changes after this. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. We've been talking about this month of how we are all sinful people and sin equals death, right? The wages of sin is death. And so if we are sinful people, we are all leading to death. And that's why we need a savior. That's why we need a rescuer to come for us. And so every time we have sin in our life, every time there's something in our life that there's a price that needs to be paid, right? That it doesn't just come freely. But when we sin, there's a price that needs to be paid. There's a debt that we have. And I want you to focus on verse 24. And it says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I want us to focus on two words here. The word justified. Do you know what that means? It means innocent, not guilty. So Jesus is saying, because of our sin, yes, we are all guilty. We all have a debt to be paid. But Jesus says, you are justified. You are not guilty. You are innocent in my eyes. Because what I have done for you. And then later on, it uses the word by his grace through redemption. Now, I looked at this word redemption a little bit more this week. And I found out, I learned that this Greek word is the same word that they used to free slaves. That when there was a slave and someone would come to basically pay off the slave to free the slave and take him out of bondage, out of slavery, this word redemption was used. Redemption means to be freed. That we are redeemed through Christ. That we are not guilty. We learned several weeks ago when we looked at it that if we are sinful, we are slaves to sin, right? But Jesus is saying, because of what I have done for you, you are redeemed. You are set free. Redemption. And it's only through Jesus Christ who can do this. He was our sacrifice. He brings us to righteousness. He has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Only Jesus can free us. Too many times we try to do it ourselves, right? We have this sin that we're trying to work on and we say, yeah, I can do it. I can get past it. No, you can't. Only Jesus and his power working in you can do it. Well, if I go to church, then that will help. Or maybe reading this book might help me. If I read this book, no. Only Jesus can redeem you. Only Jesus can look at you and say, not guilty. We are all in need of a gift. And that gift is Jesus. I know. You hear this all the time. We go through this sermon all the time. Then why don't we stop sinning? Since there's sin still in us, since there's sin still in the world, this message still needs to be preached, and we still need to be reminded that without Jesus, we are nothing. So, a week or two later, after I smashed the Lego set on my floor, I noticed that my dad came along at some point and he picked up all the pieces. And a week or so later, he came to me with the bag of pieces in one hand and with the instructions in another. And he said, son, let's build it again. We did. That's what Jesus does for us. That we are broken people. Scattered all over the floor. And our Father comes. And he says, in your brokenness, I'm going to put together. I'm going to pick up those pieces. I'm going to pick up the hurts. I'm going to pick up the sin. And in your brokenness, I'm going to put them together. And I'm going to create something beautiful again. That's redemption. All of us are broken in one way or another. And we're in need of God to come and to put us back together. As we've been doing this last several weeks, once again, we have up here a bunch of pieces of paper. Don't worry, we have more. The cross, as you see, is starting to get filled up. But there's a lot more wood left on that cross. What do you need to nail to the cross this morning? What do you need to bring before Jesus and say, I bring you my brokenness and I'm going to nail it to the cross. Will you help me put it back together? We're going to do this for this week and next week and then for the last week of the month, we're going to talk about freedom. How we are freed in Christ. It's going to be a service of celebration. The band's going to come up and the band's going to lead us in several songs as we just end in praising him and worshiping him. But these first couple of songs, I'll talk about coming before him, looking at our sin while we are singing. I just encourage you, if there is something in your life, once again, maybe you've come up here every week this month and nailed something to the cross. There's still more. While we sing these songs, the altar is open for you to come and to just to be with God. And the papers and pens are here that you can write a sin or several sins down, or just write a burden. And over on the edge, we have hammers and nails. May you know that you are redeemed. Let's pray. God, thank you for taking our brokenness and making us whole again. And making us one again. Creating this beautiful thing. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for the gift that you have freely given us. We acknowledge to you that we are sinful. And God, we need you more than anything because it's only through you, Jesus. Help us to confess. Help us to repent. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing these songs, The altar is open for you to come and to nail something to the cross.